If you have your bulletin inserts, you'll see in there a page of sermon notes. If you want to follow along in the scripture text this morning, or if you have your own Bibles, it's from Jude, verses 17 to 25. But on your sermon notes insert, on the back part of that is the actual text for this morning. If you want to follow along, you're welcome to follow along there. But we're looking at Jude. We did a two-part sermon series. We did the first part last week. This week will be part two. So let me pray, and then we'll begin. Father, we do thank you for this glorious, glorious time to worship. We thank you for this time of praise. And even we just as we're quiet and hear your creation and the insects and things, they shout your glory. For who is God like you? And so, Father, as we look into this text this morning and we're called to contend for this faith, to contend for your glorious grace, to contend for the honor of Christ, that you would help us to do that as your people, to do it well, full of love and grace and compassion, but yet boldly, to prepare us, teach us, guide us, stir our hearts for your truth and your glory and your grace. Teach us this morning, we pray, Spirit of God. Amen. So verses 17 to 25, this is what Jude writes. He says, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers following their own godly passions. And these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen." This ends God's reading this morning. Last week we heard the call from Jude, for those who were there. Jude is probably the stepbrother of Jesus. Jesus was born miraculously by the Holy Spirit. He was virgin born, but Mary and Joseph had children, several children after Jesus. And Jude is most likely, most people think this is one of his stepbrothers. We heard a call last week from Jude to contend for the faith. That's the idea of making a strenuous effort to defend, to support the truth of God as once and for all been delivered to the saints. We said last week, just as coaches and referees and players don't sit idly by when somebody makes a horrendous call or misses a call, when a player or coach experiences a bad call, they don't just sit there and say, "Oh, that's not good." They make a big deal about it. They get into the face of the referee and they say, "You've missed that. How could you do it?" They point at the Jumbotron and say, "This doesn't correspond with reality. You've really missed this." And just as they get excited when the ref misses a call or makes a bad call, we are called to contend for the faith once and for all delivered, for the honor of Christ and for the salvation of individuals. That's what we're called to. We do it a little bit different than what coaches and players do. We don't get in people's faces and shout them down, but we go to them and contend. So last week, Jude helped us to understand some of the ways of false teachers, some of the ways in their teachings. He said last week, just a quick review, he says false teachers can creep in unnoticed. False teachers can creep in unnoticed under the Christian umbrella. They'll use our lingo. They'll say, "I love Jesus. We need his grace." And they sound similar to what we believe. But then they'll twist the scripture. They'll distort the scripture. They'll actually make it mean something that just suits their own ends. Just a few examples from last week, you'll have people say that "I love Jesus, I follow Jesus," but say there's only one race, and that's the white race, and everybody else is subhuman. That is wrong, and we contend against that. Heaven is beautiful and full of all kinds of different color. There's only one group of people, and it's humanity. And God loves his creation. And so when we hear people of any kind, of anything, any kind of racism, you are called to say that is wrong. What you're teaching is incorrect. You correct, rebuke. You contend for the faith. We talked about the people of the prosperity gospel where they say they love Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and he has great blessing for you, but you have to take a step of faith to get it. Give me $100 into my ministry and you'll get 100-fold. They distort the idea of giving unto the Lord. They distort the grace of God. We can't earn. We can't do anything to merit Christ's salvation. And there's many, many others, people who say they love Jesus, but they distort sexual relations and so forth. There's people who say they love Jesus and appreciate the grace of God, but they say, go and do whatever you want, live however you want it. It really don't matter, and they distort, and we must contend. So false teachers can creep in unnoticed. They'll use Christian lingo, and it sounds okay, but they distort essentials of the faith. Jude reminded us last week that the scriptures aren't the foundations of the teachers. It's their own ungodly desires they follow. They follow their hearts. And last week, Jude said, you'll recognize them by their fruits. If you watch them for a while, they won't look like Jesus of the Gospels. When you see false teachers, and if you know your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they won't act or speak like Jesus. Nothing at all like them. So last week, Jude helped us to understand some of the ways and teachings of false teachers, and now he's saying, here's how you prepare. Here's some ways to get ready. Here's how you can prepare yourself to contend. Like a football player, like a wrestler, like a cheerleader, like a soccer player, you name it, you prepare for your opponent. If you don't, you're a fool. I never wrestled in high school, but I had three older brothers, and we loved to wrestle. It was a great thing to do. It's just what us guys did, I guess. I don't know. But I did understand when you wrestled, it took all your energy. Every single muscle is engaged for a short burst of time. And if you're not prepared, if you're not in shape, and you're not ready, it won't go well for you. You will be on your back. And so Jude is calling us to contend for the faith. And here he's given us some ideas of how to prepare so that we can get into the game, so we can plan. And our theme is the same as last week. It's this idea for the honor of Christ to defend the doctrine of God's grace. We are called to contend for the faith, to warn false teachers, and to rescue the deceived. That's what we're called to. For the honor of Christ, to defend the doctrines of God's grace, to warn the false teachers and rescue those who are deceived. We are called to contend for the faith. And this morning, Jude helps us to prepare. He helps us prepare. You'll see five things there. So here's the game plan Jude comes up with. He says in verse 20 there, he says, but you, beloved, build yourself up in the most holy faith. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. If this was in football terms, it would be hit the weight room. Do hundreds and hundreds of push-ups. During the summertime, you will practice in the morning and you will practice in the evening. And you better know the playbook. You better know the playbook that when we call the play, you're ready to go. Be prepared to get into the game. Build yourselves up in the faith. It's the idea to take time and energy to know what we believe. It requires energy. It requires effort. It requires discipline. Think of your time through the day, through the week, and how much time do you prepare yourself just to know what we believe. We are called to build ourselves up brick upon brick to study, to know the wonderful life-changing truths of our God. You can sum it up like this. You're called to a childlike faith, but not a childlike knowledge. You're called to a childlike faith, but not a childlike knowledge. Yes, our salvation, we're totally dependent on Christ as a child, is totally dependent on our parents, but that child will grow and know who their parents are. They'll know their voice, their tendencies, and their touch, and they'll know a counterfeit that ever comes their way. How do you recognize counterfeit money? Do you study all the fake bills? That would be impossible, but you study the true bill. You look at a $100 bill and you study it and you examine it. So you know it, that when a counterfeit or something false comes across that countertop, you know that's not the truth. that is fake. That's a facade. But it takes study. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes energy. So like bricks on a building, we're called to stack up our knowledge. We're to build ourselves up in the faith. Maybe think of one brick as, who is God? Who is this God of the Bible? Do you know who he is? Could you tell people who he is and explain it to him? Another brick, who's Jesus? Who's this guy that we talk about who died on the cross? That doesn't make any sense to me. Do you understand who he is? A prophet, priest, and king, fully God, fully man, all these different things that makes him so unique and different than everybody else. That's another brick in the gospel itself. And the bricks keep going on. The scriptures are just a treasure of building bricks that make a beautiful, beautiful temple to worship God. So it takes time to build our faith. So 5-minute devotions are good, but they won't prepare you very quickly at all to contend for the faith. Sunday school and worship are good and essential, but you need more than that. You need to take time through the week. It takes discipline. It takes effort. Get a good study Bible. I'll say it over and over again when I have opportunity. Get a good study Bible, Reformation study Bible, English Standard Version study Bible. There's a whole bunch out there. And just start reading. Look at the notes. Let it teach you. And there's other great resources out there. But build yourself in the holy faith. We'll start Ephesians next week, and that's one of my hopes, is that we'll be able to grow in our knowledge of God and this great salvation as we grow. So consider your time, how you're spending it, how you're using it. Are you building yourself up in the faith? The next thing Jude says is pray in the Holy Spirit. He says pray in the Holy Spirit, and this means a couple of things. And the first thing I want to say, it doesn't mean to pray in tongues. That's not what Paul is getting at. He says, pray in the Holy Spirit, and it's the idea to pray in conjunction to the truth of God's word. That when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying the truths that the Holy Spirit has given us in his word. And that's to know it, to understand it. Think of your prayer life. You could be praying for the wrong things. How do you know what to pray for? So we're to pray in the Holy Spirit, things that align with the truth of God. And Paul gives us some examples of praying in the Spirit. In the book of Ephesians in 6, he says this. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit with prayer, supplication, to keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. And pray for me that words may be given to me to open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. For I can know how I ought to speak. So he says, pray in the Spirit so we can pray for the saints and pray for others to be able to share the gospel. In Colossians 4, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in thanksgiving and pray that God may open a door for us to declare the mystery of Christ. So when you think of your prayer life and praying in the Holy Spirit, are you praying for these things? You pray for the saints, but pray for the gospel to go out. Pray for the life-changing message of the gospel to go out. That in a world that's broken and full of sin and rebellion, that there's a God who loves this world that's broken and full of sin, and his name's Jesus Christ, and he can restore, redeem, forgive, and change everything. He says, pray for these things. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray for these people who are deceived. Another thing this means to pray in the Holy Spirit is that we can't do this in our own strength. To go out and lovingly contend with others, especially loudmouth boasters and false teachers, you'll want to punch them in the face, but we're not called to do that. We're called to pray in the Holy Spirit. We'll need his patience, his wisdom, his kindness. We'll need the Spirit to change their hearts. This is a spiritual warfare. We don't just wrestle against brain power and intellect power, but spiritual blindness and deception. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would break through and change their hearts. So as you study, pray that the Holy Spirit would teach you and pray that the Holy Spirit would give you opportunity to share what you're learning with others. So we build ourselves up in the faith. We pray in the Holy Spirit. In verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for his mercy. We're in a period of waiting. You see, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you experience salvation now. You experience forgiveness now. You experience mercy now. we don't experience in its full fruition. We don't experience in its full completion. So in the waiting, we are waiting in the mercy of the Lord, Jude writes. We are waiting for the glorious day when sin will be no more. We are waiting for the glorious day when we will see Jesus in all his glory. We are waiting for the glorious day when death will be no more. And we wait for the glorious day when wickedness and those who oppose Christ and his people will be no more. And Jude says, in the midst of that waiting, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Think of it like a swimming pool. For those who like to swim, if you stay in the water, you stay warm. You jump out of the pool and it's windy, you're going to get cold real quick. So if you want to stay warm, you stay in the pool. Jude says, keep in the love of God during this waiting of things being completely restored. He says, don't sway from the glorious truths of God's love. Don't go after the ways of fools in this world that are deceived, but stay in the love of God. When you consider relationships and those around you and what they should look like, he says, stay in the love of God and the ways of the truths of God. When you consider how to go about your day and interact with your friends and the people on the street and at work, he says, stay in the love and truth of God. It's the idea, be the best neighbor you can be. Be the best neighbor you can be. Jesus says it like this in John 15. He says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. It's to dwell in the ways and the truth of God. Another aspect of this is when you contend for the faith, it can seem lonely. You'll experience times of persecution. They'll mock you. They'll ridicule you. You think you're a Jesus freak or whatever. You're telling me about Jesus. I don't want to hear about this Jesus of the scripture. And it can seem lonely. You keep in the love of God. Just as they persecuted Jesus, he said they'll persecute you. Keep in the love of God. Remember the great grace that he's shown you to open your eyes, to see your sin and misery, but the glories that can be yours when you put your faith and trust in Christ. Remember how you were in his great patience and mercy and love for you, that in Christ you possess everything. One of the prayers in Ephesians that Paul says, he says, I pray that you would have power. I pray that you would have power to understand the length, the breadth, the depth of the love of God for you. That's one of the prayers of Paul, that you would have power to understand the length, the breadth, the depth of God's love for you and to stay in that. Keep in that love of God as you wait for his mercies to be complete. So we build up our faith. We pray in the Holy Spirit. We keep in the love of God. And then the fourth thing Jude says, now go. In verse 20 says, 22, he's saying, go on the mission. He says, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating the garment stained by the flesh. Jude wants us to go to these people struggling with the teachings of false teachers, showing mercy, yet aggressively pursuing them, being saddened and disgusted at the ruin that the false teachers bring. Jude doesn't want us to sit back and mock them. He doesn't want us to shun them, but truly be saddened and disgusted at the ruin that the false teachers can bring. The phrase in there that says, even hating the garment stained by flesh, you see that weird saying in there? It's the idea that you're moved and motivated to action because you see someone has a garment that's laden with human feces. That's the translation. That's the Greek. That if you saw someone that was wearing a garment like that, would you just stand by and just like, no. You would see the ruin that could bring on them, and you would implore them, take that off. That is going to ruin you. So he says, go to them and lovingly teach them, showing them where they're misguiding, having mercy on those who question. There'll be people that you know that are in the midst of these teachings and they're doubting, they're not sure. He says, have mercy on them, love them, show them. For others who are really caught up in the teaching, he says, snatch them out of the fire. And I picture this like if you have a walking stick and you end up going by a campfire and you accidentally drop your walking stick into the fire, you grab the end of it so it doesn't burn up. It's this aggressiveness that you see the disaster that could happen to something and you want to snatch it out of the fire. This is not sitting idly by, but graciously and mercifully pursuing, praying. And I wish I could tell you that you only have to do this once where you come across somebody that's involved in some kind of false teaching and stuff and you say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that and just let them go. It could be a process. It could be a process. I've had the personal experience where you just had to go to them again and again and wait on the Spirit to do His work. You're just called to be faithful. You're called to be loving. And you share the truth of God. Help them to understand. Help them to see. They might hate you for a moment. They might not even want to talk to you for a while. But you just do it out of grace, mercy, compassion. Again, be like Jesus to them. To the people who are confused by the teachers, yeah, you be gracious and mercy to like Jesus. But if there's a religious leader, how did Jesus talk to them? It's a little bit more stiff and stern. You warn them, how dare you? Remember the scribes and Pharisees? Woe to you. Woe to you. You are to warn. Don't play with Christ. He's not your puppet. Don't play with Christ to make His teachings to fill your pocketbook. You call them. You call them to account. So it takes much grace. It takes great wisdom to help them to understand these things. But He says, go. It's a mission. It's a mission. So for you, here's the question. Who around you has God placed that may be confused about Jesus and the way of salvation? Who has God placed around you that might be confused about Jesus and the way of salvation? What are their names? That's your mission field. That's your mission field. Start praying and asking for opportunities to share the wonderful truths of God. And then in the midst of this, we build up our faith, we pray in the Holy Spirit, we keep in the love of God, and we go. And then lastly, Jude bursts out into praise. In the midst of all this, in the midst of all this journey that can be hard and difficult, we just praise God for His great grace and compassion and mercy. Look at verse 24. He just bursts out into praise. Listen to this. He says, Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forevermore. So in the midst of all this life, we should be a prayerful, praiseful people. We praise God for His immeasurable grace that He's given to us. This life can be hard, and we try and fail to walk in the ways of God, but we will fail. We will sin and mess up. But listen to your identity. Look at verse 24 again. Listen to what he says. This is the gospel. It says, now to him, talking about Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you how? Blameless. Do you feel blameless? Jesus can walk you before the Father and say, this one that you've set your love upon is blameless. I've died for every single sin, and He possesses my righteousness, and He's blameless. And how does He do it? Great joy. Pick a name, Chris. Jesus walks you up and just says, with great joy, this one is blameless. Jared, Jesus looks at you and looks to the Father. This one is blameless. With great joy, this is one whom I redeemed. This is one I've set my love upon and did everything that I can present you blameless with great joy. So in the midst of the struggles and the fails and the sins, as we rest on Christ, as you're resting on those benches with all your weight, you rest your faith totally on Christ and His righteousness, and He'll present you blameless to the Father. And how can we not be a people of praise? If you understand that, if you grasp that and you've received that, that's immeasurable grace. It's immeasurable grace. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you don't know this Christ yet, I pray that you do. It's surrendering and say, Jesus, I need you. It's bowing the knee and say, okay, I've been walking my own way, and it's not working out very good at all. Sorry for not listening. Show me. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, that he's the Messiah, you will be saved. You'll be saved. And it's time to get into the game. Learn the playbook. Build up yourselves in the faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep in the love of God. Go on a mission all the while praising our Father. Praise him. So for the honor of Christ, and to defend the doctrines of his beautiful grace, contend for the faith, to warn the false teachers, but to rescue those who are deceived. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would spur us on so that even tonight or tomorrow, if we don't even have a study Bible, we make every effort to go get one. Can I honestly say to someone on the street who asked me the question, who is God, can I answer them? Can I honestly say that somebody says, I don't know how to go to heaven? Can I answer them? Lord, we thank you for all those who have gone before us during the Reformation and things, that we would have the scriptures in our hands, that we could read them in our language, that we can know you, we can hear your word. Forgive us for not taking the time. Forgive us for taking too light the treasures that are right there before us on our coffee stands and our bookshelves. Lord, help us to see the mission field. It's hard. It can be hard. It can be persecuting at time, but Lord, we know what's at stake. And so, Lord, we pray that you would move in our hearts and our minds just to serve you and to love the neighbor. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.